Hello, I'm Andrew Neil. You can listen to my new podcast with Tortoise called The Backstory. In each episode, I interview an interesting or powerful person about their ideas, decisions, or beliefs. It's available every Tuesday with bonus episodes of me reflecting on each conversation released on the Tortoise app. If you're not already a Tortoise member, you can join using my code. Just go to tortoisemedia.com/Andrew and type in Andrew Neil 50.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Dope Black Woman podcast with myself, Ashan, one of the co-founders. Now, if you listen to a lot of my episodes before, then this one will feel a little bit different to the other episodes because you're probably used to me talking about mental health or self-development. But this is a special one as I'm joined by Claire Kimeze, who's the owner of a new luxury eyewear brand called Kimeze, which is the world's first collection of opticals and sunglasses made to fit black and brown facial features. So joining me now is Claire. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Roshan. Thanks very much for having me on.
You're welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Spoke a bit briefly and I told you, we asked all of our guests this one question and you was like, no, it's a big question. And everyone says this and it is a big question, but the reason why we ask our guests this is because we don't think a lot of black women celebrate themselves enough, so we want to allow them to do that when they join our podcast. So the question is, what makes you a dope black woman?
And I guess the thing that makes me a dope black woman is that I've started a company where we're revolutionizing standards in the eyewear industry. We feel that we're all really used to having choice in a range of different things. And because having choice tells you that you matter and that you're important. And when we started our company, we felt it was symbolic that we as a community didn't have the choice of eyewear that fitted well. And so we've decided to do it ourselves. And I guess, yeah, that's what makes me a dope black woman, is that we're creating choice in eyewear for black consumers. And we believe that's really important.
That's amazing. And you know, being like the first brand to do so, there's literally nobody else in the world that can come on this podcast and say that. I would have answered that for you on your behalf if you chose not to say something. But I wanted to ask you something that I thought of, because the way you kind of started this brand was really organic, and out of your own experience, which we're going to come on to. But had you ever been in business before this?
No. So actually, my dad had his own business. He had a shop. And it was really long hours and it was really hard work. And as a child, I always used to think, there's just no way in a million years I'm ever going to start my own business, because I saw how my dad worked and like he didn't get to spend very much time with the family. And I just thought, no, I'm not doing this. But then I guess when it came to this, we just were, once we realized that it wasn't being done, and some of the reasons for that and some of the attitudes around it, we were like, well, we need to do it ourselves. And we just felt such a kind of a genuine sort of need to do this that it just kind of happened. We just ended up starting our own business.
So has your perception of like business and entrepreneurship changed now then?
I kind of have a lot more empathy for my dad. I understand why he was so absorbed by it a lot of the time. And I always, from the outside, had a feeling that it was difficult. But yeah, when you're doing it, it's 24/7. Yeah, it's quite full on.
Yeah. And I wear glasses myself. Some people listen who maybe follow us on our Dope Black Woman Instagram might have never seen me in them. But I actually do wear glasses. I'm just someone that uses them a lot and never bothers to find them again. But I found them this week and I felt like I had to wear them because I knew we was doing this chat. And I was thinking about when I was younger and I used to wear glasses, and the experience of being in the shop and trying on lots of different glasses and them not fitting me properly. And I never really understood why this was or what this was. I just thought, I've got a big head, so that's probably the reason why. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that probably was part of the reason why, you know, the size of my head, because I do think it's a bit big. But after reading your brand story, I realized that actually maybe it's actually to do with things like the fact that I have a slightly wider nose and things like that. And I guess for a lot of people, this may or may not have been like a conscious problem, but this is actually a thing. But I know in your experience of doing like your research and stuff, that for people that work in the industry, they were very much aware that this was a problem when it comes to having eyewear that are suitable for Black and brown people. So just talk to me a bit about like your story of how you guys got to where you are now.
Yeah, sure. Like, so you're right that glasses are not made for people who have lower and wider bridges and sometimes flatter bridges, which is something that like a lot of Black people have. It's something that I have. And I realized that this was an issue myself because I was sat at home, I was watching TV and I was watching Westworld actually. And the guy on the Bernard on the TV kept fiddling with his glasses. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, this is so annoying. Like, why is he doing that? And then as I was watching, I thought, hang on, I'm doing exactly the same thing. And that's when we started. I called my sister straight away and I was like, Christina, I think glasses aren't designed for us. And she said, well, I've never had glasses to fit me, but I think that's probably just us. Like you were saying, Roshan, you were like, oh, it's probably just me. It's maybe my head. Maybe I'm just... and then we asked like all of our friends and family and they were like, yeah, well, they were the same, right? And then we were like, okay, that's... And so we booked ourselves a ticket to go to Silmo, which is like one of the really big glasses fairs. Mm-hmm. And when we were there, we met with opticians, we met with manufacturers, we met with a broad range of people in the industry. And the crazy thing was that they were all like, yeah, like this is a thing, like this would be a world first, it needs to, it's not being done. And we couldn't believe it. We were like, you know, because there's been an Asian fit around since the 1980s in recognition of the fact that Asia is seen as a rich and growing consumer group, and back to this whole importance issue. So all the big companies make an Asian fit, and that's typically for people, well, that's like a lower, narrower bridge fit. I remember at the beginning going into Vision Express and being like, can I try those Asian fit glasses on, please? And the guy laughed at me and he said, those would be even worse for you. And I was like, okay, fine.
Thanks.
Thanks. And yeah, and so that's kind of how it all began. We realized that within the eyewear industry, people were aware of it. People were consciously not doing anything about it. And then when we started, so then we did a beauty parade of manufacturers and we went through various different manufacturers. And some of the attitudes that we encountered were amazing. Like we went to one factory where they said, look, this isn't just a first for Italy, it's a first for the world. But are you sure, are you aware of the fact that we make really high-end glasses? So, you know, I don't know if you're in the right place. That was one thing that we encountered. Like people blatantly saying, I don't think you can, you know, that your community is going to buy this product because it's too nice.
You not find that a bit insulting?
It was so insulting. And I was on a call. I remember being on the call with a lady who's, at the time she was a contractor with us, but now she works in the company. And she was so, I think we both came off the call and we were just so shocked. I mean, we've encountered a lot of these sorts of attitudes, such as quite blatantly racist attitudes. And at each point, it's just made us more determined to produce a really amazing quality product that we're proud of. Yeah.
There was a lot of people in the industry who are aware that there was an issue with glasses fitting Black and brown faces. But what were their reasons behind not finding a solution?
Well, I think so. Right at the beginning, we did a bit of a brand awareness campaign, and someone like a guy who's really quite senior in the industry reached out to us and he was like, it's amazing that you're doing this. And, you know, it needs to be done. And he was very positive. And his view on why it hadn't been done was that when a lot of the big eyewear companies bought out an Asian fit, initially, they marketed it in America as an Asian fit and people didn't like that. So they encountered some pushback on the way that they were marketing it. And so then they just kind of stopped there. So that could be the first reason. And I think the other reason is a lot of these attitudes around the importance and the buying power of the Black community, which are held by, you know, the industry itself it's controlled entirely by basically, as from what we've seen, middle-aged white men. And so it's just a disconnect between people's own experience and kind of, and the communities that they're serving, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I still find it so weird though. Like, obviously what you guys have done by filling the gap in the market is amazing, especially when it's a gap that impacts people like myself and my community directly. But I just still think it's crazy that this has been going on for so long and no one's thought to do that.
I mean, I guess I think it's like a lot of stuff, right? Like you've got so many examples of like products which are fulfilling a genuine need. Like, I guess products like Nubian Skin, for example. Like when I found out that she'd launched that company in 2017, Adi Hassan, I mean, it's so recent for something as basic as skin colored tights.
Yeah, it's true, actually, because even when you think about Rihanna and like Fenty, I think that Fenty, was 2017, exactly. Or like around 2017, 2018. And that was like the first time we really saw like a massive makeup brand have products that cater to black skin in the range and scale that they did.
Absolutely, exactly. It's the same thing. And I think a lot of big companies are content with marketing to black consumers with really ill-fitting products. I mean, I'm not going to name names, but if you look at a lot of the big companies and the fit, like, it's unbelievable. You know, the glasses are often squashing the bottom of people's noses, the arms of the glasses are way too short, the angle of, you know, everything about them a lot of the time is just, mm-hmm. it's a terrible fit. And those images are being used to market the product with the companies knowing full well that the models they're using are wearing glasses that are not designed for them and don't fit them well. And that's actually also quite amazing, I think, because it's verging on contemptuous, because it's basically just saying, you know, you haven't, I don't know, it's bad, but I guess they can get away with it, so they do it.
And what's the process been like of launching Chemise of Your Sister?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been a long journey. Like, it was really important to us that we launched with a product that we were really proud of, that was a really, like, amazing, fashion-forward, handcrafted, like, beautiful product. So it's been a long time in development. And we, from the beginning, you know, we went through quite a few different manufacturers because we wanted to find one that really understood, like, what we were doing and that really kind of, like, valued, I guess, what we were doing and would work with us. And thankfully we have found that in our current manufacturer. It's like, it's an amazing business. And so we've worked together, we've 3D modeled the product to make sure that it is just an amazing, like, really cool product that will fit. And you know, I guess that has been quite empowering, I suppose, because we've spent a lot of time. Christina's also an artist, so her work's been featured recently at like Christie's, and she's like, her, so she's designed a lot of the actual designs, and then we've 3D modeled them, and then we've worked with our manufacturing partners who are kind of experts in the field to produce this range. Yeah. It's really cool. So I didn't really answer your question, how's it been? It's been quite a long journey, I guess, to get to where we are. But we're really excited with where we've got to. And I was mentioning to you the other day that we're soon going to be globally distributed by a well-known luxury online retailer. And we've got some stockists as well. And we're starting to get the message out about what we're doing. So, it's really exciting. And we've met some amazing people through the process. And I think we'll probably continue to do so. But I guess it does feel good to feel like we're doing something that we genuinely believe in and that needs to be done. And we've managed to, I guess, create a really amazing product. It's good. It has been good, but it's been hard work, and it's continued to be hard work. Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier that the eyewear that you're created is luxury, and that when you went to one of the potential manufacturers, they were like, you know, this luxury idea that you have might not actually cater to the audience you're trying to serve. But what was it about luxury that you wanted to adhere to? Like, why did you choose to go for like a luxury brand?
Because I think we wanted to start off by making something that was just a really well-made, really quality product. And so that's why we went to artisanal manufacturers to make it. I mean, I'd say it's accessible luxury, right? We're not like kind of at the price point of some brands like Dieter, or, you know, really like crazy expensive brands. But it was important that we made a product that was really, really good quality. And I think, and that's why we decided to manufacture it to start with the way that we have.
Yeah. And, you know, now that you're here, now that you guys are up and running, you've got a website, you're making sales, what has the response been like from the industry now?
The response has been really positive. I mean, we've actually now got we've got a couple of mentors from the industry who are really senior, who really get it and see the value of it and are working with us to kind of really help us grow grow the company and make it available in more places so that more people can try it on in and get to it. So that's really cool. And it's exciting that we're soon going to be kind of sold globally as well, which is really cool. I think the eyewear industry is actually quite resistant to change. And so it's been a slow process getting people to I guess let us in the club. But some people have, and I think more people will, as because the reception from people who've got the product are like, oh my god, this is amazing, I love them, like, you know, this is the best fitting pair of glasses I've ever had, and they look at them, they look really. So I think as more people get to know about it and more of the feedback gets out there, I don't think they've got a choice. I think they've got to let us in, really, to a lot of, like, you know, we've got a couple of optician stockists, but we'd really obviously like to be in more, because the people need to be able to try the product on and
have access to it, and also just feel better and more confident about wearing glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, you look at a lot of celebrities, right? Like really high profile people, and they're wearing their glasses and they're squashing the bottom of their nose, or a lot of men, like the arms of their glasses are halfway up their head or sat on the top of their ear, and you think, how as a community have we been accepting this for so long? And it needs to stop, you know. We need to start this is in many ways about more than just eyewear. It's important.
It's almost just about equality as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And have you guys have received any pushback at all?
Some people, because I suppose some people, you know, some people have said to us, oh well, not all black people are the same. Of course not all black people are the same. Some black people have very narrow noses, some black people have noses that begin much higher up, and they may not have had any problems with glasses, but certainly a lot of people in my family have, and people that we speak to have. So that's some of the pushback. People have been like resistant to it. And I think also, you know, as a community, I can't actually speak for everyone, but a lot of the time maybe we internalize certain things and certain racist attitudes, and so some people who perhaps don't understand the, like, what we're trying to do have been a bit wary of it, but by and large most people have positive.
People from in our community have been wary.
Some people don't want to be othered, I guess, like they don't feel different, and I totally respect that's cool. But I think, you know, most people who understand that we're filling a genuine gap in the market that needs to be filled, and with a really considered product, and it provides choice, and if people, you know, and that means that if people like it, they can buy it, and that's obviously got to be a good thing. And I think most people feel that way and are actually like, we've had been quite overwhelmed by how much of in general there's a really positive and like a real community response. That's been fantastic.
Yeah, when I was talking to Leanne, who's the co-founder, about Chemise and glasses, because we both wear glasses, Leanne was saying that she hated the idea of getting glasses when she first had to get a pair, because she felt like it would age her, and she felt like it was something that only older people wore. But now she feels much more like her glasses are her alter ego, or they're some sort of like superhero that is like a disguise, and it actually allows her to feel more confident. And I was saying to Leanne, when I wear my glasses, I don't know why. I don't know what programs I watched as a child that made me feel like this, but I just feel really empowered, and I feel really sexy, and I feel really confident when I wear them. And I don't know if glasses are meant to be like that for people. So firstly, can you relate to any of the things you've said? And also, like, what do you want people to feel like when they're wearing your glasses?
Can I relate to any of those things? I definitely can relate to feeling like in the past, just feeling just wrong in glasses I had before we made our glasses, just really like a dweeb. But I mean, I think our glasses are really lovely, and we've also picked colours that suit our skin tones better, right? So we've got a lot of burgundies and browns and chocolates, and they're just so glamorous. So a bit like you, Rishan, like I want people to feel I want people to feel glamorous and their best selves, and also like we see them for who they really are, and that they're just really valued and validated wearing our glasses, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, I think what you guys are doing, you and your sister are doing, are amazing. Myself and Leanne have been lucky enough to choose a pair each. We actually chose the same pair.
Which pair did you choose?
We chose the Kari sunglasses.
Oh, nice.
But there were so many pairs of glasses that I liked. I really liked the Akin glasses, but it's kind of got like the rose frame, and then I kind of had like a gold handle. Yeah. I really love them. I liked the Gabriel ones where it's like the white and it's kind of got a slight slant, like genuinely nice, like standout pairs on there. Okay. I think it's good as well that you see them on the face of Black people, so you actually know what it looks like.
Of course. And I love the Kahari Ruby Red. Like Kahari is Christina's godson actually. So like there's like, we also love the name because it's amazing. But we also, I love the Zawe. I've got the Zawe chocolate cat eye. Mm-hmm. And I just feel, when I put them on, I feel so glamorous.
Yeah. They look amazing.
Yeah. It was important to us to start with that we just came with something really nice. And like a lot of these racist attitudes we encountered, like people being mm-hmm. like, you know, basically like your community can't afford it. And it's like, no, of course we can. Like a lot of mm-hmm. like it was part of this whole kind of perception thing that people have that, you know, so many of us are successful professional people.
Absolutely.
It's not you know, it's easy to internalize a lot of these stereotypes basically. And we were like, no, we're going to design for people like us, i.e. successful professional people who deserved, well, everyone, but who deserve to be catered to basically, and deserve to be seen as well, because it's a visibility thing. It's like, yeah, it's I mean, I could go on and on, but it's been a bit, it's as a journey, it's been some of the attitudes that we've encountered and the things that people are willing to say out loud, you're just like, seriously.
Has there been a standout moment on part of that journey that's like, even in years to come, you won't forget that someone said that?
Well, the factory saying to us, you know, what you have to understand is our glasses, we make an expensive product. Our glasses are expensive. That was standout.
It's so rude. It's
like, okay. So that was bad. But there's been so many, Roshan, honestly. Just so many.
And I just want to end by just asking you, how does it make you feel to know that you're the co-owner of the world's first collection of optical and sunglasses that are made to fit Black and brown faces?
Really, really proud. And I feel like we're debunking stereotypes by providing a much needed solution to something that should have been done years ago. And we're doing it with an amazing product that we're getting great feedback about. And we hope everybody goes out and tries them and lets us know what they think.
Amazing. I'll put your social handles and website in the description. Okay. And I really do thank you for your time for joining us on the podcast today. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And why don't you support this Black business and share the brand with someone else who will love it too?
How will you reach the top? With diligence, dedication, determination, and a degree that works hard for you. A university that takes you places, raises your profile, surrounds you with experts, and supports you every step of the way. Open university degrees are widely respected and designed for learning online, with dedicated tutors giving you one-to-one guidance. Gain the OU advantage. The Open University. Your ambition, our mission.